JJF AM in Hope Valley. I'm Sean Murphy. When news breaks, we break in.
You are somebody that I don't know, but you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn. It's 7 a.m.
It's 7 in the morning.
All right, welcome back. It's 5 after the hour, 7 o'clock, and we have a very special guest joining us right now. He actually gave me a tour of the Subbase. I don't know what year that was, but it seems like it might have been like a million years ago. But Paul Weitzcarver is here with us in the studio. Paul, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Lee?
What are you doing, man?
So I retired in 2019 from the Navy. I took a couple of odd jobs, and then I landed at the Southeastern Connecticut Enterprise Region as their executive director.
All right. So before we get to that, you got to give us a little background on you. I mean, you were a retired captain. You were in charge of the whole show over there, pretty much, as far as I could tell. And I mean, that's a pretty great career you put together.
You talk about a career. You know, it was good for me. You know, I enlisted in the Navy when I was 18, from Virginia originally. I did 11 years as an enlisted person in the United States Navy. I went back to school at Virginia Tech, got my degree in economics, went back into the Naval Nuclear Propulsion Program, served on the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, USS Norfolk, Alabama, commanded the USS Scranton out of Norfolk, and then my major command tour was up here running the base. You know, right. So I tell people that running the base was the funnest. The most rewarding was commanding a submarine.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that must be like. I mean, I think we talked about that a little bit last time. All that power that you have, you can't think of it like that, but it is pretty amazing, right? I mean, there's only a select few of you that get a chance to really pilot one of those things, right?
I think the statistic is 1 in 40 make it to command that come in in the commissioning programs.
And so how many, well, you can't tell me exactly, but approximately how many subs are out there right now?
Oh, I could tell you, one of my shore tour jobs was the operations officer for the submarine force on the Atlantic. You know, so I made sure that all the submarines on the East Coast, all the submarines in the southern part of the hemisphere knew where they were. I was the submarine operating authority for them all.
It takes a certain kind of person to be able to be underwater for that long. I'd last literally about 3 hours. You'd throw me out. You'd shoot me out the torpedo thing and like five, like screaming. But anyway, you don't care about any of that. You want to talk about stuff that you're doing now. So tell me what the organization is that you're doing, what they're all about.
So the Southeastern Connecticut Enterprise Region, otherwise known as Sector,
yep.
We are your economic development organization for essentially the same geographic area as the Council of Governments. So New London County, so to speak. We create the comprehensive economic development strategy for our region. We are a designated economic development district. So we are your pathway for any type of federal grant going to the EDA. So you have to have a letter of support from us before you can get any EDA funds flowing your way when it comes to economic development.
Give me an example of what that sort of encompasses. Give me like some of the...
Yeah, so one of the things that we have recently done is we participated in probably not a great word for a lot of people that listen to your show, but the Build Back Better Regional Challenge.
My favorite, Bill. Love it.
So it's that was $1 billion of ARPA funds, and they said, hey, let's change the way we do economic development,
and
let's give, or if you had a group of projects that you can think that could help economic development locally, otherwise called place-based economics, let's do that instead of having it flow from the top down. So what we did was we said, hey, you know what? The state has invested $255 million in the renovation or the revamping of the state pier for an offshore wind industry hub, a place where we can assemble everything that goes out to either the New York Bight or to the lease lands off of Rhode Island in Massachusetts. And let's see if we can build an industry cluster around offshore wind. You know what? We have a lot of other assets in the region.
Right.
We have the Eastern Workforce Investment Board that has helped Electric Boat. We have the University of Connecticut that does research and development and also business acceleration and technology and blue tech technology. We have Business Park North in Norwich, which has roughly 185 greenfield, i.e. land that does not have to be remediated, where we can develop businesses, bring in possibly domesticating the supply chain for offshore wind. We can work with the Council of Governments, improve their ability to discover and understand what pieces of property we have on the Thames River or up Interstate 395, where we may not know what the cost is to a developer to remediate. So let's see if we can bring funds in to figure out what that remediation cost is so that when a developer comes into the region, the unknown is known, so right, that we can develop it. And we've also worked with the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology in developing an offshore wind supply chain database, which I think is already live if you go onto their website. And we also thought about, you know what, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, we need to come together and think about offshore wind so that we can be, you know, the center of offshore wind in the Northeast.
You believe in offshore wind?
So I would tell you, you know, so let's remember where I come from. I'm been working with nuclear power for 39 years of my life. If you don't have nuclear energy in your energy portfolio, you're making a huge mistake.
I totally agree with you.
I would also tell you that for me, you know, I drive hybrid cars,
okay,
you know, because I didn't want to pay, you know, I did two tours in D.C. Price of gas down there is just tremendous. I had to figure out, you know,
yeah,
I don't want to pay $4.50 for a gallon of gas.
Right.
So there's a ways around that.
Right.
You know, I'm not here. I'm trying to be apolitical, but
no, I don't want to. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you in a box because I've always taken the stance. If it works, let's use it. Right?
I think it works. So let's put it in context. If you were to go to Europe right now, there's roughly 5,600 offshore wind turbines out in the ocean.
Yeah.
If you go to Asia, roughly about the same amount. You know, the national mandate of 30 gigawatts of power. At the smallest nacelle, the generator part that is about the rough size of your house probably, you can go from anywhere from 9 megawatts to 15 megawatts. If you just take 12, that's 2,100 windmills or offshore wind generating, windmills that we need to put out in the ocean to get to 30 gigawatts. If you looked at all of New England, our whole power grid is roughly 30 gigawatts.
Okay. All right. So okay. Fair enough. Let me ask you this. So you said your group is talking about developing the surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
What is the vision for the surrounding areas?
So, you know, all those particular entities that I discussed, that's what makes up a offshore wind industry cluster. And
right,
if you think about it, it's the business cycle. You do research and development. You look at, you know, what is coming out of there, what we can develop. Let's say, it's essentially seed money for offshore wind industries, or how can we get into the domestic supply chain? We need to bring the supply chain from Europe over to here. You know, one of the things we struggled with, we won phase one, which was 529 different entities across the country competed for phase one dollars, which at the time was, part of the process. How can we get all these communities that think they can do place-based economics and make it a priority for them? Out of 529, there were 60 finalists. We were one. Out of that 60 finalists, and we didn't win phase two, but we still have funds working on phase one. We got $500,000 to kind of push this forward. There were 21 finalists. I'll give you an example of one that won. You know, in New Hampshire, one of the only ones that won is biomanufacturing. Their downtown area, their area, they knew that they had a medical means, you know, a base of industry, just like we do when it comes to the submarine force,
right,
and supporting Electric Boat. But it wasn't going on. So what you have to do is say to yourself, but for the money, what can we do?
Right.
So we thought that we could do that. So we brought in a coalition of partners, University of Connecticut, CCAT, the Council of Governments, Business Park North and NCDC in Norwich, and also the state, because we wanted to partner with Rhode Island, Massachusetts. And, you know, what we asked for was, if you gave us $63 million, i.e. $40 million from the federal government and $20 million for matching funds that
right,
came from some of the developers, I bet you if you did a RIMI study or an econometric study, you could create at the peak 9,000 jobs and in steady state 6,000 jobs just by figuring out how to domesticate the supply chain here in the Northeast and in Connecticut.
All right, so you're talking about at a micro and macro level. You guys are looking at it from where? Like you want, you're talking about the entire surrounding community? You're talking about New London only? Where? How far out do you guys go?
So we even partnered with Bridgeport and Avangrid.
Okay.
You know, it's all about how, you know, for me, it's the region. For obviously DCD and the state, it's the state.
Right.
And if you were to look in New England, it's Rhode Island. If you were to ask me who the best partners would be, you know, I'll be brutally honest. I think Connecticut has kind of missed the boat with offshore wind. We kind of lag behind Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New York.
Right.
We need to catch up. You know, so this was a means for us to catch up. And I still think we can do it. There's plenty of, you know, New London has the phrase, it's happening.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Okay. If you look out at the State Pier, there's a beautiful $255 million investment. And I know there's folks that can, you know, look back at the past and say, you know, why did we do that? Or looking at contracts. Point is, it's there.
Right.
So let's use it.
It's a lot of land they brought in.
They did. They did about 7 acres in the middle.
Yeah.
That was quite a process. You know, one of my tasks when I retired is they invited me to come in as a consultant for 5 months after they got rid of the executive director
right.
and help the Connecticut Port Authority. So I went in, okay. helped them create all of their policies, rewrite them so that they would right the ship. You know, so but it's a long process. I don't know that they'll get off everybody's negative connotation until
right.
they actually see a 300 to 400 foot pedestal sitting up at the State Pier going out to go on to an offshore wind farm.
Does New London have a direct access to you guys to give you what they want for the surrounding communities and how they want it to look? I would assume that you guys probably don't want more pawn shops or dive bars like New London would insist, but I'm just kidding. So it's just do they have an input as far as what they're going to do?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we represent the 22 municipalities and boroughs in our Council of Governments arena.
Right.
In fact, we are what I would like to call the sister of the Council of Governments. So we have many people that are on our board of directors, whether it be from municipalities. You know, Felix from New London is on our board. I talk to the municipal leaders as much as I can. I go to the Council of Governments meetings. You know, so they have direct input. The other things that sector does is that, you know, we are your place if you are looking for a non-traditional loan for your business.
Mm.
We do revolving loan funds through the EDA and through DECD. We also are participating in the governor's boost program, where if you want a low interest 4.5%, if you looked at prime these days, 4.5% is pretty darn good.
Right.
for a small business that's already been in business for 1, 2, 3 years, and you just need that little jolt to get you to the next level. And in the next 2 weeks, the governor's going to also announce a program that we call Sector Rise, which is seed money for new businesses that are getting that need to get that initial jump just to get into the market, you know. So,
yeah.
And we're focused around, you know, the other thing that Sector does is we host the Procurement Technical Assistance Center for the entire state, or PTAC. You know, so if you're looking for government contracts, you come to PTAC and they help you get into SAM.gov or get into, you know, whatever it is that requires you to do government contracts. If you ever done one, they're hard to do, and you got to meet all these cool requirements, and that's what PTAC does. You know, so we offer a great deal at Sector just to get people started.
Right.
And that's really what our, you know, one of our focuses. And the other one is the comprehensive economic development strategy that we develop for the region.
Is it a paid position you guys hold, or is it like a quasi? What is that?
It's a nonprofit organization. We're hosted by the municipalities, similar to what the COG is. We do take a per capita a small amount of money for municipalities. But then we kind of operate on grants and our grant revenue from our non-traditional loan programs. So
right.
I wish I had more capacity. If you could figure out how I could get bigger capacity to help the region, I'd appreciate it.
So you have access. You can give out these kinds of loans. Is there like a board that somebody has to sit in front of? Is there a certain criteria for the types of businesses that you're looking to lend to?
Absolutely. So what we developed was a loan administration board.
Yep.
We have, at a minimum, 3 senior loan officers from surrounding banks that make sure that we're loaning out the money to reputable people. And we put backing behind that. I mean, it's just like closing a normal loan.
Right.
You know. So.
But is it any business? Anything that you think is it got to be like something that's redeemable? I mean, I guess, is there a certain conscience that surrounds some of these businesses, et cetera?
Absolutely. You got to be viable. Right. I mean, we're not going to just
money making. It can be anything.
Yep.
It could be any type of business.
Could be a nonprofit.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, some people may come to you with a business that that may be morally bankrupt, and you have to make a decision as to whether or not that is something you guys want to back. And that's a decision that's part of the process, correct?
And that's why we have the senior loan officers from surrounding banks.
And is that something they contact you and then you set that whole thing up?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple success stories, right? Beard Brewing, which is
okay.
in Stonington.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's one of ours. If you go down, a new one is Viking Firearms Training down East Line.
Sure.
You know, so all these are businesses that we've done, that we have provided loans for.
All right. Well, is there a website folks can go to learn more about this stuff? Where do they go?
So I think it's sector.com.
No, sector.org.
Sector.org. I'm glad
Wendy's here.
She can keep me straight.
Wendy's making sure everybody's straight.
And she's on my board of directors as partner in the Cultural Coalition.
That's good. Yeah, she's great. All right. So what I was, did we catch everything? Did we hit everything?
I think we did. It was great.
Yeah. What do you think 10 years from now? What do you think New London's going to look like? Or 20 years from now?
If you were to ask me, you throw in the pier that's going to be renovated.
Yeah.
You're going to look at offshore wind with these 300 to 400 foot pedestals that are going on a state of the art install vessel. You're going to be able to. It's taller than the Gold Star Bridge, for crying out loud. You throw in a Coast Guard museum that's going to be phenomenal there on the waterfront. To me, the tourist attraction is the pedestals and the windmills.
Right.
But I'm a Navy guy, and I am on the board of directors for the Submarine Force Museum. So, I think it's going to be awesome. And the other things that are happening in the region. I'm also the president of Thames River Heritage Park.
What do you have time to do all this stuff?
Well, I retired from the Navy, so I got a little time. But you know what? The river is one river, 1,000 stories.
Yeah.
So it's an awesome place to be.
You won't be able to see those windmills from the shore, though, right? That'd be too far out.
They're roughly about 17 nautical miles out.
Yeah.
If you do the calculations, you're going to have to be in a hotel to see the top.
Is that right?
I've got a little practice of looking through a periscope figuring out what height of eye is to the horizon.
Well, listen, great stuff. Thanks for coming up to me and saying that, they wanted to come on. If you got stuff, we'd love to hear about it. We'd love to, because I'm just learning about this group. I'm like an infant here listening to what you got to say. I didn't know much about it, so I'm glad that you shared some. I'm sure most of the listeners out there don't know too much about it either. So
I think that's why Wendy hired me.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Wendy Burry is the other voice you hear. She'll join us in just a couple of minutes. Keep it right here. You're listening to 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours. You are mine.
Liam, you are better. I could have broke every record in the book.
And then?